Morning. How are you all doing? Good. Excellent. It's great to be with you. My name's PJ. For those who don't know, I'm on staff here at Highfield. And it's great to be journeying through a gospel again during Lent. You may have been here last year where we journeyed through Mark. And like Harry said, this year we're journeying through Lent. We're not having the talks every day, but do grab one of the flies at the back, which gives us a verse of for each day, just to quickly read, reflect on. And it's really exciting this year. We're also, St. Denny's are joining us with us on the Sunday. So it's the first time we're doing a joint sermon series together. So it's really exciting as we journey through the gospel, heading up to Easter and just beyond as well, actually, to the end of April. But it's really exciting. And so we're looking at John's gospel, which is slightly different to the other gospels. The other three are often called the synoptic gospels. It basically means that they're quite similar. They have similar stories. They follow quite a chronological pattern leading up to Easter. Whereas John's different. John bunches stories together to make a point, to try and emphasize different things about who Jesus is, to be able to give us a real clear idea of who Jesus is, what he was about, and why he came to earth. And it's really useful. Often when we're studying scripture, it's great to get an idea of what's the author talking about, why are they writing this letter, or this gospel, or this story, or this history. And John is really useful because he tells us why at the very end of John. So in John 20, it says this, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The whole purpose of this John's gospel, why he's writing it, is, so first of all, he's telling us these signs, these stories of what Jesus has done, so that we may believe he is the Son of God, and because of that, we may have life in his name. He's not just writing so that we believe that he existed or believe the things that he did, but so that we may have life. And that's my real prayer for us as we journey through this this Lent period, is actually as we dig into John's gospel, or whatever other resources we're looking at during Lent, that actually we may gain a greater fullness of what it means to have life in the name of Jesus. And so this morning, what we're thinking about in our passage at the beginning of John, do keep it open, is this call to follow Jesus, this call to follow him. And some of us, we may have made that decision already, but then the question really is, where is he leading us to? Where is he leading us to as followers of Jesus? So let me pray. Father God, I thank you for our scripture, that we can just see who you are and see what that means for us. And God, I pray that prayer for us this morning, that we would just come and see. Come and see who you are and what you have to share with each of us this morning. God, may you just transform us more into your likeness this morning as you reveal to us who you are. Amen. So, John's gospel, like I said, is different to the other ones, and it starts slightly differently, and the passages before kind of show us that. And so all the other gospels either start with a genealogy, which is basically a family tree of Jesus, or the story of Jesus' birth. But John doesn't do that. John goes back even further to his birth or his ancestry, to creation. And there's this lovely passage about which talks about, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word is often a name used for Jesus, the Word. So in the beginning was Jesus. So straight away, John is making this point that Jesus is God. He was there right from the beginning. He is involved in creation. He's involved in our world right from the very beginning. So he's trying to make this point that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. And then it continues. We hear some stories about John the Baptist. And then it starts Jesus' ministry with these calls to follow him. And first we have Peter and Andrew. And then in our passage this morning, Philip and Nathaniel. And this call to follow him. And Philip and Nathaniel, we don't know loads about them. Philip was one of the 12 apostles, and we see him in a few different stories, mainly the feeding of the 5,000, he's really involved. But we don't know much about them, and especially Nathaniel is just a normal follower of Jesus. He doesn't seem to be anyone special. He's not one of the 12, he's just a follower of Jesus. And we only hear about him in this passage here this morning, and right at the end of John's gospel. But that's a great thing, because it shows us that actually he's there right at the beginning, and he has journeyed through the entire life of Jesus, and he's there after his death and resurrection when we see Peter restored. And so Nathaniel, we don't know much about him, but he persists and he stays with Jesus in what he's doing. And so we're going to dig into our story, and it starts like this. So verse 43, it says, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" And so we start off with Jesus finding Philip. We're not told why, whether it was a mistake or a coincidence, or whether he intentionally went and sought out Philip for whatever reason. But the important thing is that Jesus finds Philip. Jesus came and found him and gave him that amazing call to follow him. It must have been such an ordinary day for Philip, getting involved in his work, his everyday life, when he bumps into Jesus and gets this amazing call which changes his life forever to follow him. And he follows, he does. Like I said, he becomes one of the 12 and follows him for the rest of his life. And the funny thing is, he thinks he finds Jesus. Even though we see that Jesus finds Philip, Philip seems to think that he's found Jesus, because he then goes on to find Nathanael. And when he's talking to Nathanael, he says, "Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses and the law spoke about.'" I don't know how that resonates with you. Often we think that we found Jesus in our story, that we're the ones that went and found him. But actually, what's most likely the case is Jesus found us. Jesus found us where we're at, often at our lowest point. And he finds us and gives us the grace to be able to think that we found him, when actually he is one who is intentionally seeking us out, coming to find us where we're at, because he loves us. Because he wants that relationship with us. He wants us to follow him. And so he comes and finds us where we're at. And so he continues and he says that he's found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so the Jews were looking for this Messiah. And so throughout the Old Testament, it foretells this coming Messiah, this coming person who would come and defeat their enemies, who would rescue them from their oppressors. And so they thought when this Messiah would come, he would come powerfully and destroy their enemies. But Philip has realized that this Jesus bloke is the Messiah, and he's not coming like that. And so it's kind of easy to see why Nathanael doesn't quite get it, because it's not how they expected him to come. They've been waiting for hundreds of years. And so when Philip finds Jesus, the odd thing is we don't hear his response. We see that Jesus says, "Follow me." And the next thing we see is Philip going and finding Nathanael. And that's his response, is to go find someone else. So Philip, having been asked to follow, then goes and finds. Because that is what our yes should be in following Jesus. It's not about an audible saying yes, it's about what we do. And Jesus welcomes us in to the joy of finding people. Finding people of him. When he calls Peter, he says, "You're going to be fishermen of men." We're invited in this call of following Jesus to find other people, to tell other people about who Jesus is. And so even though Philip doesn't say yes, he acts yes. In what he does, he shows that he is obedient and he is following Jesus. And that is part of our role. We have to share what we found, who we found, with the people around us as our yes of following Jesus. It's not just an intellectual yes. It's not just a when we're on our own yes or when we're in church yes. But it's an everyday yes of joining in with this mission to find people. And so Philip goes and finds Nathanael. And it can be really hard to share our faith sometimes. I don't know how you find it. You may find it really easy and you're amazing. But it can be really hard. We often worry about what people's response might be, whether they're going to ask us really hard questions, which we don't know the answer to, whether they're just going to think we're crazy and laugh in our face. But I love this story because that happens. That actually happens. So when Philip has said, "We found the one that Moses wrote about," Nathanael's response is, "Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth?" He basically laughs in Philip's face and says, "You're lying. Can't be the case. Not true. I don't believe you." That may be really close to some of our stories. We've had people come and go, "I don't believe you. Sorry." And I don't know about you, but my natural response if I was Philip would be to change the subject quickly, to start talking about sports or football or the news or the weather, to try and change topic very quickly. But I think Philip's response is one of the best bits of evangelism advice we can ever get, because he says, "Come and see. Come and see." He doesn't try and convince him, doesn't try and give him an amazing three-point argument of why Jesus is the Messiah or why he's the Son of God. He says, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and explore it for yourself. And you'll see. Come and see. So when we have friends and they're like, I've got loads of questions, we can be like, well, come and see. Come to an alpha course. See what you think. Or they may be like, I don't think he's real. We can be like, well, come to church and see his followers gathered, worshipping and meeting him. Come and see. It's such an amazing response for when people seem to slam the door in our face. Actually, we should have that boldness to be able to go, well, come and see. Because we don't need to defend Jesus. He's happy doing it on his own. He's happy showing who he is on his own. We just need to give people the opportunity to come and see. And that might be through us reading a Bible or the gospel with them. That may be inviting them to an event or just inviting them to church or just journeying with them and growing a friendship with them until they start asking questions. But it's that come and see that we just need to give people the opportunity to see for themselves who Jesus is. And so that's what Philip does. He invites Nathanael to come and see. And so the story continues and it says, verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael basically goes, how do you know me? You've no idea who I am. It's the first time we've met. How do you know who I am? And Jesus' response is this. I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael came to see Jesus, and what he realized is that Jesus had already seen him. That Jesus already sees our friends, sees our colleagues, sees our neighbors, before we invite them to come see him. Actually, that's the beauty in this relationship with Jesus, that he already sees us where we're at, and he loves us, and he wants to find us and reach out to us. And so he already sees him, and we're not told why this speaks powerfully to Nathanael, but he completely changes his tune. Going from someone who thinks, no, nothing good can come from Nazareth, to saying, Rabbi, which means teacher, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Such a massive turn, just because he realizes that he was seen by Jesus. He was seen by God. He magically changes his tune to realize this must be the Son of God. Just because he was seen, he wasn't convinced in any way. He was just shown that he was seen by God, seen by who he is. And so we need to be inviting people to come and see who Jesus is, to be involved in that story. But Jesus then continues in this. He not just sees him, but he sees what he can be, what he will do and what he will achieve. And he says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. And then he adds, very truly I tell you, you will see heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus saw Nathanael and he sees beyond him of what he can do. And he wants to lead him there. He wants to lead him to that point where he can see heavens open, angels coming, ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He sees beyond where we're at now in our lives. Because the point of Jesus seeing us and inviting us to follow isn't just to believe. It's to follow. It's to go where he's wanting to lead us. It's to live a life for him. The reason he finds us, the reason he sees us, is to lead us on to greater things, to more powerful things, life-transforming things. Believing isn't the finish line. Following is. Jesus didn't come live 2,000 years ago, live a perfect life, die a perfect death, take away our sins, just so we believe in him. That wasn't the point. It's so we can have a relationship with him and follow him and live a life with him. That is the point. The call is to follow. Our point of living for Jesus is to follow him. And that's what Nathanael does. Nathanael follows him. Like I said, the next time we see him turn up is at the end of John's Gospel in John 21. And it's where Peter is restored. So Peter, in the death and resurrection of Jesus, betrays Jesus three times, denies who he is at his most important moment of need. And so after Jesus died and raised again, he intentionally goes and seeks Peter out to restore him, to affirm him. Even though he's betrayed him, he still loves him. And what we see is Nathanael's there in that moment. Nathanael's there with them fishing. And Nathanael overhears that story. And right at the end is that call again to follow Jesus. Right at the end in John 21:19, Jesus says to Peter, one of his closest friends, follow me. It's that call for all of our journey of our life as following Jesus. It's not a call just at the beginning, but it's for always to follow Jesus. Making that intentional choice to follow him through the hard times and through the good times. Because that's how we're called to live for Jesus, to follow him. And that's hard. That means we have to make really bold changes in our life. Because as we are now, we're not perfect. We're not how Jesus calls us to live. And so involved in this following is changing who we are, how we act, how we think. It means taking giant steps of faith out of our comfort zone. It may mean changing our life completely, changing location, changing job, just because that's where God's leading us. And that's really hard. That takes such courage. But the amazing thing is that he's with us in this leading. He's beside us. He pours out the Holy Spirit on us to enable us, to give us the guidance and the strength to be able to do those amazing, bold moments of faith, to step out and follow him. But it's not easy. And the real hard question we need to ask ourselves is, where is God leading us? Where is God leading us today? Where is God leading me this year? God, who are you wanting me to find today as I go about my normal day life? How are you wanting me to change? How are you wanting to grow in me? Transform me, transform who I am. Where are you leading me today? And that's our call as followers of Jesus. It's an everyday thing, an intentional thing, is to decide, okay, today I'm going to follow Jesus. Today I'm not going to follow my normal bad habits. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to choose to follow him every day of my life. And that's really hard, but it's a bold call, and it's that call that Jesus gives us always. And we may be at really different places in our life and journey with him. Maybe for you, you're just on the edge and you're like, I don't even know if he's real. I don't know. But it's that call, like Philip gave Nathanael, to come and see. Come and see who he is. Come and try and explore him. Give him the opportunity to show you that he sees you, who you are. You may be really hesitant to explore because you know that actually it's not a walk in the park. I've been saying actually it's a really hard thing. We're taking in giant moments this risk and faith and steps of faith in our walk with Jesus. And that's a hard choice to make because it changes our lives. The decision to follow Jesus isn't an easy one. It's one that completely and should completely transform us. And maybe you're hesitant. I actually really felt, well, this week praying for this, I feel like there might be one or two people here especially who you've been really hesitant to explore whether Jesus is real because you're afraid of what he sees. You're afraid of what you've done in the past and what he might think of you. And I just want to say to you that he loves you. He's dealt with your sin. He's dealt with your past already. And he just wants to show you how he sees you now. He loves you. And he wants a relationship with you despite the stuff of the past. So that might be you, and if that's you, I'd love you. The prayer team available afterwards. Do go pray with someone or talk to a friend who's here with you. But it's that call to try. Come and see. Come and see who he is. Come ask questions. Come experience who we say Jesus is. Or maybe you've never followed Jesus. You've come and seen and you think he's real, but you've never making that choice to follow Jesus. Or maybe you have, but actually you're realizing that for quite a while you haven't been following Jesus. You haven't been making that choice to follow him, and actually you've been going off in a different direction. And actually I really want to give you an opportunity this morning to make that choice to follow Jesus. Again, whether it's for the first time or actually you realize you need to come back, you've been following something else. And in a moment, I'll give you that opportunity just to decide whether to follow him. And the thing is, we don't need all the answers to follow Jesus. Nathanael and Philip definitely didn't have all the answers. But they realized that they were seen. They were seen by God. And that was enough. Actually, you may not have all the answers. You may have really big questions. I think we all still do. But actually, it's that choice to go, actually, no, I know that I'm seen. I know that I'm loved by God. And so I'm going to follow him and trust him in the stuff I don't know yet. And I'll work that out in the journey. I'll find those answers in the journey of following him. And he graciously leads us on those paths to find the answers we need. Often to be able to give us bigger faith to take bigger steps in our walk of Jesus. But it's not about knowing all the answers to be able to follow Jesus. Actually, we continually do that in our walk with him. But maybe for a lot of us, the thing is actually about working out where is he leading us. Whether that's today or if that's on a long-term scale. Where is Jesus leading me? Because I want to follow him, but I'm not sure where. I'm not sure where he's taking me. Where he's taking me deeper, challenging me, growing me. And it's a call to actually intentionally pursue that. Intentionally give up time in our day to just pray and seek God and go, God, where are you leading me? Where are you leading my life? And listen. Listen to him. Listen to what he's got to say to us. Share with us. Talk to our friends about it, going, I really don't know where God's leading me. I'm feeling challenged, but I don't know how. Or maybe actually you know where he's trying to lead you, but you've been a bit resistant. Actually, you know that he's particularly challenging on an area and you're wanting to avoid it. And often that's the times when he's silent. It's when he's already told us what to do and we've chosen not to do it yet. And we're like, God, why aren't you talking to me? It's often because he already has. It's what we see in the Old Testament. God gives a prophecy and then is silent until they actually get around to trying to sort it out. And actually, that's often the place for our life. We're like, God, I want you to speak to me. And actually, it's about sometimes you take time to remember, where is he already trying to lead us to? Where is he leading us in our life? And starting to follow him there. Start to choose to follow him in those places. Which is hard and really challenging, but it's the most life-giving choice we can make. Like John said, he tells us these signs and these stories in his gospel so that we believe he is the Messiah, so that we may have life in his name. The choice to follow is a life-giving choice. It's something that fills us with joy in the heartache. It challenges us, but we see amazing things and miraculous things because of it. That choice to intentionally choose to follow him. But like I said, I really want to give people the opportunity, if you want, to choose to follow Jesus. So if you bless me, just closing your eyes for a moment. And you may want to think and ask God, God, where are you leading me? Or what are you trying to talk to me about this morning? And in a moment, like I said, I just want to give you the opportunity, if you want, to follow Jesus, whether it's for the first time or actually you realize you want to come back and choose to follow him again. Choose to accept him into your life. And in a moment, all I want you to do is just raise your hand in the air. It's not because it's anything magical. It's just an outward sign of what God is doing in your heart, of what he's talking to you about and challenging you about, and that choice to follow him. Of, yeah, God, I'm here. I'm here. I want to follow you. And all I'm going to do is just lead you in a prayer of just accepting his forgiveness and that choice to follow him. So if that's you, if you want to follow Jesus, whether for the first time or just again, just want to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, amazing God. Fantastic. You can put your hands down again. I'll just lead you in a prayer. God, I thank you that you love us, despite our dirt and our sin and the things we've gone against you in. God, I thank you that 2,000 years ago you sent your son to die for us, to take the punishment for our sin, so that we can have this relationship of following you. And God, I just accept that forgiveness for myself. That you will lead me in what it means to follow you. God, I accept that forgiveness and I accept that love that you want to share to me. I thank you, Jesus. May you pour your Holy Spirit down on me to give me the ability to be able to follow you in my life. Amen.